Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Kind of looking around to see if any of my Sunday school friends are here. So my name is Matt Riccioni, and I'm really honored to have been asked to speak here today. And thank you. I'm a dad, and I'm a proud father of three awesome kids. You saw Lucy. She did a good job, I thought. Now she's embarrassed. That's my job. I have two boys, too, Noah, who's 14, and Sam, who's 9. I'm also a husband, and I have a really amazing life partner named Colleen. She's up there. And I have strong, caring parents and a big extended family standing behind me. And I'm also an elementary teacher, and I get to make a difference at work every day, and that's pretty cool. In addition, I'm human, and I got lots of flaws. I can be selfish, often ignorant, misguided, wrong-headed, and I'm very privileged. Writing this really helped me realize, too, how often I'm unaware of that privilege, how it's invisible to me, and how good it is to see that and know that. I started life, little baby, and like most people, it's not what I meant, and we lived in a mobile home, my mom and dad and I, and a few years after that, they saved up and they bought a house in Auburn, New York. And when I was in fourth grade, we moved on to an even a little nicer, bigger house in the country outside Auburn, near Union Springs. I grew up really happy, for the most part, safe, food secure, loved and cared for. What I didn't see was how much sacrifice and struggle and work went into making that happen. So both of my parents were first-generation college students who grew up in working-class families. Both of my grandmothers and one of my grandfathers were first-generation Americans of immigrant parents. My grandma Riccioni told me once when we were talking that when she was a girl, she had to pick cherries just to help her family. Like they would all go out and pick cherries and pick other fruit to help them, you know, make it. She married Grandpa, and they raised three rambunctious boys on his pay as a barber. My Grandma Topman grew up in foster care, and she has quite a story. But she turned out to be a very strong and proud woman who raised four children of her own. Her husband, my mom's stepdad, was a milk truck driver. So my parents came from really hard-working blue-collar families. And they worked super hard. And they both earned college degrees while at the same time giving us a joyful middle-class life. I am deeply, deeply privileged because I've had two parents and an extended family who have loved me and were always there for me and continued to be. I know it's Father's Day, but I do want to mention my mom for a moment because she's part of who I became, and she's pretty cool. My mom blazed a trail for her family. She was the first to go to college. She's an amazing woman who loves more deeply than the ocean, and she gives welcome to everyone she meets. She's overcome a lot of challenges and sacrificed and been an inspiration to me. And I could talk for hours about her, but we're not going to do that. But how she's intentionally positive all the time. How she was a strong professional woman. And how she overcame growing up hardly knowing her father. And how I never had a clue of the challenges she faced. Because she was always, always, always loving, caring, a stable rock upon which my family stood. My mom's perhaps the most selfless and caring person I know. So I want to say thank you to her She was here last night at church. Thank you, Mom. But today is Father's Day. So, and my dad's pretty awesome, too. And we're gonna talk about him a little bit. So my dad is this kind man. Like if you were to say one word about him, it would be that he's kind. But he's also very loving and caring and incredibly hardworking, and he's present. I think that's amazing. It's rare to meet him and not see just this big, genuine smile on his face when he sees you. Because he's genuinely glad to see you. He's a role model to me. I try to bring that smile when I see people now too. You know, dads don't need to be perfect, but we need them to be there and to be kind and to love our families. And what a great model my dad is for that and for me. He was the umbrella who kind of sheltered our whole family. And when problems rained down, we just got our feet a little wet. We didn't even know. I was able to grow up blissfully innocent because he sheltered us from countless storms. He was there, loving and caring for us. And if you take anything from the stories I'm going to share of my dad today, I hope it's that you take that we need to be there, be present, and prioritize the people we love in our lives. So I started life, I suspect, as a bit of a surprise to my parents. I don't know that I was really in the plans, but when my dad was 20 years old, he became a father, and I became. He put my mom and my priorities and our needs first. He dropped out of college, and he started working at the Sylvania Television Factory in Seneca Falls while my mom finished college. He put her through college. Eventually, he moved on to a job at the Miller Bottle Factory in near to Auburn, and he was working the night shift. And he supported my mom while she got her master's degree. When I was a little boy, he would go to work at 7 p.m. and he wouldn't come, he would leave it. Or he would work from 7 to 7 a.m. He'd pick up extra night shifts, sometimes day shifts. That was hard. I look back on it now and I really don't know how he did that. Be present for us and work all night. But he did. Somehow he did it. Because he had to. He just stepped up and he did it. And I've realized now that so much of being a parent is just stepping up and doing it. And I'm really glad that my dad taught me that. He would come home, and I'm sure he was tired, right? And nonetheless, he would smile at us, and he'd be happy to see us, and he'd talk with us a little bit before we went to school and he went to bed. One of my favorite childhood memories was that when I was in elementary school, every now and then, my dad would come by the school and pick my brother and I up for lunch. And he'd drive us home, and he'd make these baked beans in a dish with just sliced hot dogs. Like, it wasn't fancy, but it was great. Like, I loved that. It was just a small little thing, but it was time with my dad. He was there. Another strong memory of my dad is that when I was a young child, sometimes, as young children are wont to do, I either couldn't or didn't want to fall asleep. And I can still remember it. I can feel his fingers as he would like rub my forehead and just sing me songs. And he wasn't, like, singing's not his forte, but but you know what? It was, I still hear it. He had this little book of Christmas carols, and he would just sing to me. We would go on these really exciting big vacations, like really exciting, to Syracuse. And we'd stay at a hotel for a night, you know, probably like a day's, I don't know. And we were so excited because we'd get to spend the night at the hotel and sleep in the pool, and we'd go to a diner, and it was awesome. And, you know, it's not about what we do, it's that we did it. They wanted to do that with us, and we did that together. And I'm sure that was a challenge. I remember the big trip. When I was in fifth grade, my dad took my younger brother Chris and I on Amtrak all the way to Dallas. That's 36 hours with you know, no spouse with him and two crazy boys. Like, again, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And it was awesome. Like, and I don't have memories of him being grumpy on the train. He probably was, but it was amazing. As I got older, he transitioned into the taxi driver and the cheerleader and the coach, and he'd bring me to soccer games, and he taught me how to golf. He attended my school functions like musicals and award ceremonies, all these things. And he made sure that when I played a sport or did something, that I knew that it wasn't about winning first. It was about being part of a team and taking care of the other people on that team. And, you know, he was still there smiling and happy to see me wherever I was and he came, even though I might have been a teenager who wasn't always happy to see him smiling in there. Yeah. Sometimes we were all teenagers once. When I was in high school, my dad also went back to college. And again, I'm not quite sure how he managed this. He just did. We lived in Union Springs, which, if you don't know, is near Auburn and near Cuga Lake. And he was going to school at Cuca College and to be an OT. That's a 90-minute commute in good weather each way. And I remember how insensitive us three boys were at the time. We had no idea the sacrifices my parents were continuing to make for us. You know, for me, it just meant that I couldn't have the coolest shoes. Like, I remember I wanted these Nike Air Jordans or something. Like, I don't know. And that my dad's car was pretty awful. He drove this old red station wagon. And I remember the roof liner, like the fabric in the roof, had been torn out. And it was just this insulation. And we'd rub our fingers on it, like, and the orange insulation would fall on my brother's head. We regularly joked about this car with him, and maybe not in the nicest way. I'm not terribly proud of some of those moments, but what I saw as a junky car was actually my dad's continued sacrifice for me and for my family. The sacrifice he started when he left college so he could help support my family, and now he was going to college to get that degree he deferred for me. He even told me a story once of how he was driving down this country hill and the brakes failed and how he was just terrified, you know? That car was just one of the many, many examples of him being there, leading by example, loving and sacrificing for his family. And, you know, after raising three boys, my mom and dad should have gone off to this exciting, like, life together. And instead, when Jeremy, my youngest brother, was in high school, they started over. And they adopted two little girls from Thailand. And they've really given nearly their entire adult lives to nurturing and supporting my siblings and I. So I want to thank my dad and my mom, too, for that. And as an adult, this is real privilege. My dad continues to be there and to teach me how to be there, too. He always finds time for family, for me, for my children. I remember when my son Noah was a year old, and my grandmother, my dad's mom, was fighting terminal brain cancer. To no one's surprise, he was there for her too. He was with her at the hospital, and when she went into hospice, he would spend the night at the hospice and care for her. You know, my dad might be the most gentle and caring man I've ever met, or you'll ever meet. He was a model for me on how to be there, not just for his kids, but for his mother and his siblings too. Again, he showed me how to do it right, how to be there. He communicated with his brothers. They weren't fighting. There was no bitterness, just love. And at this horrible and hard time for him, he drew closer with his brothers, not further away. He was there for them. He was there for his mom. And just a couple days before Grandma died, my daughter Lucy was born. And somehow, my dad managed to bring my grandmother out of hospice in a wheelchair all the way to Highland Hospital to meet her. She got to hold Lucy, and I'll never forget that. She passed away just a couple of days after that. But my dad's always there. And he just continues to be there, right? He's helped me move countless times through college and other parts of my life. Thankfully, not for a while. He's trained for multiple marathons with me, running through all sorts of weather and early in the morning when he could have been sleeping. And he taught me and talked with me on those runs. And now he does Taekwondo with me and my children and my sisters. He's there for births and birthdays, family vacations. He's there for games, for dance recitals, plays, for weekend sleepovers, for board games and barbecues and bocce and all these other things. You know, in fact, given the choice, my kids would probably choose to spend time with him over me 9 out of 10 times. You know, they're crazy about their awesome grandpa, and who can blame them? It's not a surprise, because he's been there for them. He's always made time for them and smiled and just been so happy to see them. I would argue that it's the greatest privilege of my life and theirs to have been part of such a loving family that's there for you. So I'm a dad now too, and I can think of no greater gift for me than my children and my wife. First, being a dad to me has meant I need to be a partner for my wife. So I want to talk a little bit about her too, even though, because she's not a father, but she's part of this. And I'm sure she could tell you a much more accurate picture of what it's like being married to me, but thankfully, I'm the one talking to you today. So I met Colleen at Nazareth College, and we've shared many adventures together. We started out becoming friends at campus ministry, and way led on to way, and we fell in love. She was and is a beautiful, caring, and deeply intelligent woman. I loved then, and still love now, hearing her stories and her dreams. And I want to be her partner as she changes this world. I remember we were taking a walk one night back in college. We were just friends. She was just talking to me, telling me all these things she wanted to do. And that's when I fell in love with her. A while later, we got engaged. And a little while after that, we were on a campus ministry retreat. And I'm a good Italian boy, and Grandma taught me how to make sauce and meatballs and brujol. And so I just helped make all this, you know, wonderful food, and we'd eaten it. And Father Jim's brother-in-law, Deacon Leo Amen, was with me, and we were washing the dishes together, right? And he said, Matt, he said, I haven't washed dishes in years. I said, Deacon Leo, how is that, right? He goes, well, I'll give you some advice. When I first got married, you know, Marion told me to go wash the dishes. So I picked up the plate and I started washing it, and I dropped it and it broke. And she said, Leo, be more careful. What are you doing? I said, okay. And I picked up the second plate and I washed it and I dropped it and it broke. And she said, get out of my kitchen. Like, don't you touch my dishes. He goes, this is the first time I've washed dishes since then. And I said to him, I said, you know, Deacon Leo, this advice is too late. Like, Colleen is standing right over there. She sees that I can cook. She's watching us wash dishes. Needless to say, I do a lot of dishes. More to the point. Colleen has really helped me become a man. She's suffered patiently through my many, many mistakes. And she's given me the gift of fatherhood. She's been an instrumental part in helping me grow and learn how to be a better dad and partner. Thank God she's been patient with me, as my learning has not always been easy or quick. And I don't know what our family would be without her, because she too is always there. Sometimes encouraging us, sometimes strongly nudging me to be a better dad, but we're a team. And I share this because I think it's of paramount importance for my children to see that I love and respect their mother. And I want them to know what a strong relationship looks and feels like. This is one of the gifts I try to give them, to show them what it means to be loved and respected by your partner. One of my best friends' name is Sean. He's also one of Lucy's godparents. And he told me the real secret to fatherhood when we were expecting Noah. Now, Sean already had two children at this point, so he kind of knew the ropes. And he said, that I was about to become an expert on fluid management. That I would be spending the next few years of my life managing and thinking about every possible fluid that should or should not go into or out of that child. And I laughed like you're doing, but little did I know that he was so right. So I just want to say thank you to all of you fluid manager experts out there today. I'm really glad to report that fluid management has become a smaller role in my life again, but it was part of being there. I remember when Noah was born, and I wasn't prepared. Like, I just cried. I had no idea I would cry like that. And I cried again when I gave him his bath over in the room. And then the nurse put the ink on his foot, and she stamped the little birth paper. And then she put it on my shirt and stamped my shirt, and I cried again. And then I went down the hall because my parents were arriving at the elevator. And, like, when the door opened, I just bawled. You know, and I showed him the little footprint on my shirt. Nothing can prepare you for the feelings you have becoming a parent. It's a pretty good thing, too, that those feelings are there, because being a parent's pretty hard. But I'm really proud to say that, like my dad, just like he taught me, I've tried to be there. I've been at every birth. I've gave each child their first bath and countless more, changed my share of diapers, and saying my children to sleep, thinking of my mom and dad. And I did become some of an expert on fluid management. In fact, one of my favorite memories of my daughter Lucy is about that. She was a baby, and I'd just given her a bottle, and we were doing the little burping thing, and I thought, oh, she likes to play this game we call So Big. I said, I'll play that with her. And so I put her in front of me. I said, who's so big? Then I lifted her up over my head and gave her a little shake. And I said, Lucy's so big. You know, and she laughed and laughed. She loves it, you know. We did this, I don't know, three times, four times. And then I lifted her up and I said, Lucy's so. And I didn't say big. Her little tummy just couldn't take it anymore. It all came right down into my big mouth on that word, so. And, you know, I might not have always been the smartest dad on the block. And, you know, I've shared some proud moments, but there are many moments that I wish I could go back and change. Dads, you see, in particular this one, were flawed people. We're fumbling around through this, and we're just learning as we go. Usually I try to be a patient person, but parenting still happens when you're exhausted and stressed and overwhelmed by life. And I've lost my cool. And I've yelled when I shouldn't have. I've made assumptions that were wrong. And I've been downright grumpy, maybe even mean sometimes. And I'm not proud of these moments, but I do want to own them. Sometimes Colleen is quick to let me know that I'm screwing up. She's even told me on occasion that I'm causing permanent damage to our children. She might be right. She probably is. She usually is. Don't tell her that. But I try to apologize to my kids and show them that I can learn and grow from my mistakes, that I am flawed, but then I can grow. And I hope that they see that even though I do these mistakes and I'm not perfect, that I'm trying to improve. And I really want them to know that a man can apologize and that a man can admit that he's wrong and that a man can have empathy. I do have one more confession to make. I really enjoy watching my children struggle and fail. And I really want them to, in fact, because they need that to grow. And I know they need to fall off the bike if they're going to learn to ride it. And I try to have a philosophy of, if it doesn't kill them or paralyze them or make someone pregnant or have some incurable disease or addiction, that is probably a mistake that's good for them to make. I do also do Taekwondo with my kids, and I love, this sounds terrible, but love watching when they try to break the board and they don't. You know, like my little Sam up there, he's 9 years old, and he gets to stand up there and hit this board and it doesn't break. And you know, he has to square his shoulders, he's learned to do this, and hit the board again, and it doesn't break. And hit it again, and just do it until it breaks, right? Or Noah plays baseball, he's crazy about it. And if you've ever watched kids play baseball, more often you don't hit the ball than you do. And I love that. I want him to hit the ball, right? But I love that he misses and that he goes back up and he does it again. These hard times, they're essential. They teach kids perseverance and they teach them resilience. We also make our children do chores. And when they don't do a good job, we make them do them again. And they don't love us for this yet, but I think they will someday. Our children won't know how to fail and recover unless they get to do that. I'm also really deeply fortunate because of my job. As an elementary teacher, I get to impact the lives of countless children and families. And every day I get to see the power that loving, caring, and present parents have on their children, the impact that they have on those kids. I'm also able to see some of the vulnerabilities and realities in many children's lives. Some children are not privileged like I've been, but extremely vulnerable or even in crisis. As a teacher, my toolbox to change their lives is a little more limited, but I can love them, and I can try to listen to them and try to help them find a sense of agency and power in their own lives. Sometimes I feel like a kid at the beach trying to stop the waves, you know? But try we must. And I've learned as a teacher and a dad that we have a lot of power. And it's how we use that power that matters. Do we use it to shut people down? Or do we use it to raise them up? Do we use it to take what we want? Or to elevate the vulnerable and give them what they need? And in so many ways, children are amongst the most vulnerable among us. It is up to us to be the umbrellas that shelter them from life's storms so they can dance in the puddles and laugh. We have to let them get their feet wet without being battered by the storm. It's up to us to put in front of them challenges that they can overcome and do our best to protect them from the challenges they cannot, and to be there letting them know they can. I want to add that while I've been privileged to have a dad in my life, not every kid has a loving male role model. But there are many, many dads out there that aren't even dads. I see amazing men and women step up and do this job for kids. Some of you. People who make a difference by their presence and compassion. Single moms, teachers, coaches, grandparents, uncles, neighbors, Bus drivers, I know this one amazing bus driver. He's like linchpin for some kids. To all of you who step up and give to them, thank you. Some dads also just can't be home. Maybe work takes them from home, or they're deployed in the military, or they're even trying to be a father from jail. Yet, I've seen a lot of those dads who are still there too, whether with phone calls at night to say goodnight, or a video chat, or writing letters home. It's amazing to me how we can be there even when we're not. So I want to just thank all of you dads today, and the moms too, for going out there and fighting the good fight to raise your children. Thank you to all the parents who give children a voice, or at least who try, and who listen to them, who respect them, who play with your children, who laugh with them, who sit with them when they're sick or they're scared, who manage their fluids. Thank you to all of you who are there. You make the difference. Your showing up and being there makes the difference. Even though you're flawed, you make a difference in those quiet moments when you sit with a child on the couch. You make a difference when you play with them. You make a difference when you taxi them to all their events. You make a difference when you share your passions and your vulnerabilities and when you listen to theirs. You make a difference when you go to work and you put food on the table, and that's hard. And you make a difference when you model how to say you're sorry and that you screwed up, and that's harder. You make a difference when you love and when you're vulnerable. You're just what they need, even with your flaws. You are building a stronger, more caring, more successful person. So to all of you awesome, flawed parents out there who show up when it's hard, who support your partner, or who do it all solo, who hug your kids when they've had a bad dream, thank you. Thank you so much. You make a difference by being there. Happy Father's Day.